Happy pandemic squirrel report, everybody.
It's a squirrel-demic.
Hey, we are practicing safe social interactions.
Social distancing.
Yes, we have...
We were social distancing before it was cool.
I know. Am I right? A long time before it was cool.
That's right. We were social distancing before it was cool. We're like proto-hipsters when it comes to social distancing.
Yeah, but now that everybody's doing
all of my friends live like in opposite corners of the country.
Perfect.
and Narnia.
So, yeah.
Actually, it's very interesting. My expertise on the squirrel report came in handy.
We had a
teleconference. We've been working from home, mm-hmm. and we had a teleconference for our monthly art meeting. Mm-hmm. And I was very practiced at saying one at a time.
Oh my gosh!
It was, and you know, all right. I don't know who has the mic in their mouth, but stop it!
Yeah. All the people who've never Skyped before.
Yes, exactly. You could tell who had and had not had any experience with either podcasts or group. You know, messaging.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, because of the latency, you got to give that little pause.
Yep. You know,
and you can't just jump right in.
Yep. And the problem with the pause is if you know to do it and somebody else doesn't, when you go to give that pause, three people are like, clunk.
Yeah.
And say, okay, kids, go ask your parents. Back in the days when you had typewriters, there was the IBM Selectric had... Each letter was on its own little stock. And when you push the key down, it would come up. The one stock would come up and ka-chunk and imprint the ink upon the page. If you got typing too fast, you'd be like, chunk, and they would all stick together.
Yeah.
And you'd have to like open the typewriter hood. It was a hood like a car. Yep. And be like, oh, crap. You have to like pull them apart gingerly because you didn't want to bend them. Because once you bend them, it's all done. And then they came out with what was the ball? There was one.
Two.
Yeah. It was
all, yes, with a little ball that went back and forth. Yeah.
And there was a term for it, but I forgot. Somebody, as soon as we put this episode out, somebody's like, Brian was called this, and
yeah, it was the Uniball. No, Uniball. It was shit. It wasn't Uniball. That's a pin.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Anyway, kids, there used to be these things called typewriters that people used long before computers. It was kind of like a computer that wasn't connected to anything.
Occasionally, I still receive a letter in the mail that is typewritten.
We do as well.
I have a friend who likes to use a typewriter. He occasionally will type me a letter. And of course, I've saved them all.
Aww.
Well, I just love them. I mean, I've always loved typewriters, and I've loved, you know, I love that kind of tactile, you know, crafty thing.
I wonder if typewriters will ever come back into fashion.
No.
Very doubtful. Not when you can buy a computer with internet access and a printer for what? Yeah. $300?
Yeah. I mean, they're just fiddly, and I don't think people have patience for that sort of thing anymore.
Yeah. Well,
the whole fixing your screw ups thing.
Yeah, fixing the screw ups is a big deal. Yeah. Seriously. And then also the typewriter ribbon and, you know.
Yeah, I remember the biggest selling point for the original, you know, PCs was like WordPerfect. If it wasn't VisiCalc, it was WordPerfect.
Yep. What was the, oh my God, WordPro? Yeah. There was a program my dad used like well into the 2000s that I saw it and I was like, oh, dear God, what are you doing? It was like a step below WordPerfect. Yeah. WordPerfect and the Excel version was Quattro Pro.
Oh
my God.
I remember that.
Yep. And it was Lotus 1-2-3 before that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it would fit on a floppy disk.
Back in those days, typewriters RAM was measured in gigabytes. Sometimes just kilobytes.
We were having a discussion at work, sort of, and this is a huge digression, but you brought it up, Jay.
Yeah, it's my fault.
They're talking about the company I work for. We have a video studio for some reason. And they're trying to figure out how to edit 4K video, which, if you know anything about 4K video, first off, it has to be edited raw. And then the files are huge. I mean, literally gigantic. So they're trying to, they're so big that they can't get them to these contractors and stuff that do the editing. The way they get them to them is to put them on an external drive and send it through FedEx. But they don't send one, they send like two or three, because one of them might get there okay. But it gets there it gets there tomorrow. And the files are so big, they don't actually make an internet connection fast enough.
Wow.
To send these things before tomorrow. So, it's weird. It reminds me of the old days with floating tapes and stuff, and when you wanted to fire up a backup site, you loaded everything onto tapes and you drove it across the city to your backup site and loaded it up there.
Wow.
And that was fast. Anyway.
Yeah.
We need to get a Tig update from Rita.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't know. I'm not friends with a whole lot of people on Facebook, and I don't really talk about, I try not to be like the crazy cat lady on the squirrel report, but we've been having issues with Tig, and he's been sick for a long time, and it turns out he had an abscessed tooth. Ooh. The thing with cats is that they will hide their pain and hide their pain until it's about too late, And so he started acting, this was on top of the whole diabetes situation, and he started acting weird, and he was just acting weird. And so we brought him back into the vet, and she took a look at him. She was like, oh, I think it's his teeth. And sure enough, there was a tooth, right? And I had already made his dental appointment prior to him starting to act weird. So he already had an appointment that was like, okay, we've got the diabetes under control. We'll do the teeth next. Okay, great. And I had already made this appointment, but then he started acting weird, and I brought him in, and she's like, oh yeah, his teeth, something is really wrong with his teeth. And he had already had his appointment made, and we could not get a sooner appointment. And unfortunately, the appointment was like 18 days away.
Ugh.
So it has been like the longest 18 days of my life. We basically had to do like pain management with him so that he could eat, because he needs to eat because he has diabetes and he's on insulin. And it was like this whole big vicious circle for, 18 days. And, so we made it, and Mike was like, okay, we're pulling him across the finish line. We had two different pain medications, and it was just nuts. So, we finally, Tuesday, he had his surgery on his teeth, and he had three teeth removed. And I tell you what, yesterday was the first day after the surgery. And it was a little weird, he wouldn't really eat. And then I had to spoon feed him, and it was like this whole big thing. But today it was like day two, right? And his face is all was all swollen yesterday and most of today, but like he hasn't had pain medication since yesterday. And he is the happiest cat. Like He is so delighted with his life right now. He alternates. He's still like kind of healing up. So he alternates between like passing out and having like really deep, deep naps, and then walking around like hugging everything, purring his head off, like giving me hugs. Like he's like the happiest cat you've ever met in your life. So it's amazing.
Tige is like the dude of cats.
Right now, yeah. Seriously.
It's like your opinion, man.
Yeah. He's yeah. So it was, you know, he's back to being himself. And I'm hoping like maybe this evening for dinner you'll be able to hear his melodious tones. But yeah, he's doing good. Like he's healing up and the swelling is going down. He's starting to eat again. So
awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, I just anybody who has like a pet, like keep on top of stuff because they will hide their pain from you. As soon as they start acting weird, anything is off, take them to the vet because, you know. Yep. Oh, yeah, the teeth issue though, man. Wow. But can you imagine like having like a, you know, horrible toothache
for a while?
For a long time.
At least 18 days. Well,
at least more, yeah.
Oh, yikes.
At least a month or two.
Yeah. So he's doing okay.
Good job.
Super good-natured cat. I'm super lucky. So.
And now he's glued to you.
And now he's glued to me. Like every time I sit down, I'm surprised he's not here right now. But today was the day where he just wanted me to hold him all day long. Aww. So he could nap on me. And so that's what I did. And luckily enough, I don't have to work. So it was my job today, hold the cat. Nice. There has been no end date set for the reopening of the library where I work.
Yikes.
Yeah. I got a message from the library director today, and she's like, please try to think about the library whenever you can. Like, and she's like, you know, do some research and preparation for future programming. And like, she's trying to like say, come on, this isn't a vacation. We're still like, you know, we're still paying you. So, I get to go in once a week to water the plants. That's my contribution. But otherwise, you know.
Do you like burn the homeless out with a flamethrower? Or?
I don't. You know, the day that they decided to close, I was actually off work that day, so I don't know exactly what happened. But I don't know how Mr. Jones is going to get his newspaper and tell his pathetic, dirty jokes. Whoops. I don't know, Mr. Jones. No,
he's going to have to go somewhere else. And there's not a lot of places to go.
No, there really are not.
They're getting
the state of Ohio. Our governor has decided to really crack down and really be kind of like proactive, kind of overzealous. Some people are saying he's being overzealous, but I don't think so. I think a lot of what he's doing, you know, the people who are in Italy right now have been warning us, like, if you think you're overreacting, you're not.
Right.
Like, shut everything down. Stay home.
Well,
nothing is so important that, you know, you can't wait a few weeks and just, you know, just wait it out. And that's what Mike DeWine has decided. Like, he shut down bars. He shut down restaurants. He shut down gyms.
Yeah, they did the same thing in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's funny because
he has not shut down libraries.
They all closed on their own.
Yeah. No. Not all of them. Oh. Yeah, and Mike and I were discussing this before the show, and I was like, why is he not shut down libraries? And we think it's because of state licensing. Restaurants need a license, bars need a license. Gyms probably need some sort of license. Schools, obviously, you know, tied up with state. So I think it's probably some sort of like, you know, the governor can say, well, if you don't shut down, we'll pull your license.
Right.
Or something, you know. Whereas like Ohio libraries, sure, we get money from the state. So I guess the governor could say, if you don't shut down, we're going to pull your funding, but I really think it's a case of, once again, libraries get looked over.
I was just going to say, maybe they just didn't think about it.
I'm sure they didn't think of it.
Because who goes to libraries? Jeez.
Hobos.
Exactly. Hobos and Brita. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because both, you know, Ohio and Texas are among the states that still have relatively few cases. I mean, they're slowly increasing, but they're not increasing like some places. I mean, you see, like the latest statistics as of 7:14 p.m., updated by Johns Hopkins, we have 13,680 cases in the U.S., of which, you know, New York is 5,300.
Right.
Seattle is 1,300, and Los Angeles is, or California in general, is almost 1,000. So, you know, still. I think you're right, though, Breed. I think it's probably wise to, there's too many unknowns.
Well, yeah, and there's nothing so important that, like a library, come on. Like, it's nice to have a library and nice to have those things available, but it's not like a critical thing. And I know that some libraries are acting as if it is, well, you know, we're librarians and we serve the community and we're like the, you know, we're... It's like the, and I really think a lot of it has to do with like so many librarians are women. And so women kind of fall into this, oh, I need to take care of everybody. And, you know, I serve the community and it's my vocation and it's my calling. And I'm like, you're a librarian. They can get a book in 3 weeks, like settle down, go home, hole up, you know, get some canned goods. Everybody will be fine. Like the hobo checking out the DVDs, like we'll live for 3 weeks without free DVDs. Trust me. They will. You know, the dude coming in to check his Facebook page on the public computers, he will be okay. You can go home. Like, I don't understand that mentality. And I've heard over and over again, well, what about those kids that don't have a safe place during the day to go? Not my fucking problem, frankly.
Yeah.
Because kids are proven, like, especially in this coronavirus thing, kids have been proven to be like disease vectors.
Not just in the coronavirus thing, Brita.
Well, I mean, yes, not just the coronavirus, but children, like, they're carrying the virus and not getting sick, really.
Right.
And they're just passing it on. And so, like, why would you want a bunch of kids, you know, coming to the library and infecting everybody else? I just...
Especially when they close the schools for that very reason.
Right. Exactly. The schools are closed. Don't send them to the library. And don't think that the library has to take them. You know, it's just silly. So I just hope somebody's feeding the fish at our library. Because I don't want to go in tomorrow to a bunch of dead fish.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody can replace them real quick before they, in a couple of months when the library reopens, they can buy new fish.
Yeah, I know, but yuck.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I thought it was interesting because I've been looking at some of the ways people dealt with pandemics in the past. And I thought it was interesting. I read an article recently. I forget where it was, but it led me down the trail of looking at, tuberculosis in the early, around the turn of the century. And there were like nationwide campaigns to try to get men to shave their beards because, you know, your beard is full of disease and and all that kind of stuff.
Is it though?
Well, that's what they said. You know, whether it is or not, you know, it wasn't that long before then that they even discovered germs in general. So,
right.
But they also, the elaborate floor dragging skirts that women wore, were done away with because they drug the ground. And, you know, the theory was they're dragging and all the spit on the sidewalks and streets and everything because, you know, people spit everywhere. And then they'd walk home and drag that into their house and everybody'd get sick. So it's just interesting how, you know, pandemics can change fashion and things.
Well, I think there's going to be lasting repercussions from this pandemic. That's for sure.
Sure. Well, you know,
I'm not sure
one of the things they're talking about, you know, everybody's worried about wearing a mask, right? But if you have a beard, your mask doesn't work right.
Right.
So you can't,
unless you stuff the whole thing up in there.
Yeah, but it won't seal right. So that's, you know, that's for, you know, doctors and people that, you know, back when I was visiting some chemical plants several years ago for work, there were several plants where you could not enter the production areas if you had facial hair at all. Because you had to be able to wear a breathing mask that would seal on your face. So, you know,
this is before you grew a beard, right?
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. This was years ago. But that was that was one of the things you had to be able to, that was also one of the things I remember, when I was in the Marine Corps and they were talking about gas masks. And that was, and one of the guys giving the lecture on gas masks was saying that was, and I remember this distinctly because, you know, back in the old days, military men wore elaborate beards and whiskers and all that kind of stuff. And what they discovered was during World War I, that shit gets in the way of a gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, ever since then, for the most part, the military's been hell on facial hair. You know, beyond the, you know, occasional mustache or something. So, you know, these things happen. And you can already see people changing the way, you know, things are changing today. I got a, for instance, last week I was up at the office to do something. They were about to tell everyone to go home and work. And there was, you know, several of us, we were upgrading, you know, putting taps on fiber and doing some other stuff. And we were ready to leave. And some guy sticks his, you know, hand out to shake his hand. And everybody was like,
nope.
And he goes, oops, you know, and so, you know,
I would like to get to do away with that.
I would too.
Generally.
Shaking hands. Absolutely. Ugh, absolutely. Yeah, come on. And there's like, you know, all these different theories on how to, you know, oh, we fist bump instead. We bump elbows or we.
No.
What is it? Touch feet? Yeah, I'm like, no, that is quite possibly the most awkward thing ever. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the head nod, the, you know, like the stuff. You know,
sup,
yeah. Sup, you know, just like, you know, I'm a fan of the dude, bro. You know, we'll just do that. Like, just kind of give that nod. Maybe if you've got a glass, you know, you do the dude and kind of, you know, cheers.
You can do the Vulcan.
You do the Vulcan.
I have to tell you that women as a general rule do not shake hands upon meeting.
Other women,
yes, or men. A lot of women do not shake hands with men. It's not like a thing for women culturally.
I get a lot of women trying to shake my hand.
Well, it's because you're, you know, but so.
It's the beard, Alan.
It's the beard. But I like to shake hands with men because I like to crush them. But a lot of women do not like to shake hands with men. And most women, upon meeting other women, will not shake hands. And so, you know, I'm trying to think, like, what do women do when they meet? They just say hello and how are you? And they kind of are, you know,
there's
friendly in the face. I don't know.
There's one type of what? Woman that scares the hell out of me.
The hand crusher?
No, the one that announced, oh. I'm a hugger.
Ah, no.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'm a hugger. And they want to hug everybody. Uh-uh.
That's why.
Sorry, hugger is a shade of orange. Thank you very much.
Nope.
Yeah.
I will hug people I know. But
yeah, that's different.
Like hugging upon meeting? Nope.
Yeah, I think the whole, you know, it's, I mean, it's not just coronavirus. I mean, how many, the flu kills thousands of people every year, and we just sort of right. shrug and go, yeah, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, there's all kinds of diseases that are still passed around. I would be really happy if a large portion of the U.S. started to emulate Japan and the way they do things. You know, wear a face mask in public if you're sick. Don't go, you know, if you have to go out, wear a face mask. They, you know,
people. What about a hockey mask? I'm a big fan of hockey masks.
I don't
know. Or that's just, yeah, that's
that,
just me.
That doesn't stop
well, you, the. No, but if you have a machete to go with it, people stay the hell away from here.
I've also noticed that you know the people that crowd your personal space. That is not happening.
If we see an end to the close talkers from this, it will be worth it.
Oh yeah.
I many years and several jobs ago, I worked with a gentleman who was a close talker, and I mean. Like almost cartoonishly so. Like he would literally get an inch from your nose to nose.
You could feel the saliva hitting your face.
Yes. And it wasn't like sometimes it's like an intimidation thing, you know, your drill instructor, the traditional Hollywood, Arlie Ermey. Right. This was just, he honestly had no concept whatsoever of personal space.
Wow.
He'd just be like, right there, right. I'm holding my hands in front of my face like you all can see me because I'm an idiot. But he would literally just right there. And he'd be like, so let's talk about that report. You know, like, Paul, back up. Good Lord. Like,
was this in some sort of nerd profession?
Oh, no, course. No, actually it was actually in an industrial plant.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, you know, just how do you not pick up on this? I don't understand how close talkers cannot pick up on every time you get in someone's face, they visibly recoil away from you. They do not wish you to be that close. Bad at reading social cues?
I bet there's an element of passive aggression about it.
Might be. Some of them. Just clueless. People are clueless. I think it a lot of things boil down to that. People are just like, yeah. You know, we have to tell people to wash their hands. Like, really? Like that's the, you know, that's like a thunderclap revelation. Wash your hands. Wait, huh? Be reminded? Basic hygiene? Really?
Yeah, but you know what? If you saw the restrooms where I work, you know.
Okay, are they bad or is it like a?
Well, they're okay now because there's nobody there.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that just don't care where they let fly. Let's just put it that way.
Yep.
And they don't care what state they leave everything in when they leave. You know, it's.
My last place of employment, we had someone that would come into the men's room. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. And trim their hair.
Ugh. What?
There would be
oh my God.
1 to 2 inch long clippings in the sink. Like
their head hair, right?
Yeah, I hope. Yeah. It was straight hair, so.
Yeah.
But you just go to the bathroom and you'd look and you'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like, who thinks, you know what, I'm going to wait till I get to work to trim the extra hair around my ear? You know?
Oh, God.
Well, like, I also don't get people like the compulsive teeth brushers. I'm like, you know, you don't have to brush your teeth twice a day at work. They can survive until you get home. If you really, really, really have to go nuts. You know, morning and evening, and you're good. You know, it's like morning coffee, brush your teeth. After lunch, brush your teeth. Oh, my God, I had water, brush my teeth. Guys.
Give it a break.
It's surprising we haven't had more pandemics. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
if we didn't, how on earth would Democrats accuse Trump of negligent homicide?
Oh my God! All right, J-Rap time.
Yeah. Well, I for those that are on Twitter, you are familiar. There is now a hashtag called Trump Lied, People Died, because proving that the Democrats do not have an original fucking bone in their bodies. They just rehashed the Bush Lied, People Died, except this time it's about a disease that...
What?
I heard it!
I'm so sorry.
I heard it too.
No, it's good to hear. It's a disease that did not originate inside the United States, which, side note, I have to applaud President Trump. Did you see what he did? Somebody was asking about, some people are criticizing you for your delayed response. And he said, beginning of February, I stopped people from coming in from China. And in fact, your news agency called me racist for doing it.
Yep.
He literally called them out in a press conference. I was like, you go. Because he's exactly right. It was like the beginning of February when the first reported case, and here, you know, wasn't the first case they had in China. No. They were executing doctors for daring to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the first, I think their first reported case was like January. It was like right around SHOT Show. It was January 19th. I want to say it was the date they mentioned. So it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks elapsed, and Trump was saying, yeah, maybe we shouldn't let these people into the country. And the response was, oh, President Trump, he's taking measures to protect America. No, it was, he's a racist. Ugh. Which is always the response. He's racist for calling it the Chinese virus. As though we don't have a long history of naming these things after the area in which they originated. Spanish influenza.
Oh my God,
Tig. I'm sorry.
No. He is starving to death.
He's not.
He is just, he's wasting away.
He is.
Spanish flu, German measles.
Yeah.
Thank you. German measles.
Ebola. Ebola is named after
Zika.
River, right?
Yep.
The Zika virus. It's
goodness.
It is like one of the most common conventions to name the virus after where it originated.
Well, as somebody else pointed out in that same press conference, you know, is Chinese food racist?
Right. I mean, we're going to leave aside the semantic facts that Chinese is not a fucking race.
Right.
That's a nationality. He's being anti-jingoist. But this absolutely bizarre, only in Trump's America could you be called racist for referring to a disease by where it originated, and only if you're Donald Trump with an R after your name. And in fact, and unfortunately I have to go on Twitter for my job.
I'm sorry.
I saw someone who actually posted that Trump calling it the Chinese virus is the most racist thing he's ever seen.
Oh my God. Wow. And
my response,
wow.
I never respond because, you know, I'm only on there in official capacity, so I'm not about to do that. But I'm looking at that and I'm thinking to myself, you live the most sheltered life in existence, pal.
That's amazing.
You are quite possibly the most special of all special snowflakes. If that is the most racist thing you've ever encountered.
Well, yeah, and it was also, it was all as of, as I think it was, what, January 14th? I forget the I think it was the 14th, January 14th. The World Health Organization announced that, according, and this was months after the Chinese Communist Party knew what was going on and was and had been heavily suppressing it. The World Health Organization announced that there was no evidence of human to human transmission of the Wuhan coronavirus.
Yes.
Top men.
And then a few two weeks later, Trump canceled the flights from China. Now,
right.
You know, and one of the things I like about Trump is he doesn't let the media cow him. He stands right up to them, and he calls them out when they're saying, you know, bullshit. And they kept going over and over again, wanting him to take blame and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, it's the Chinese virus. They started it. They hid it. They suppressed information for months. You know, if back in November when they first saw it, if they told the rest of the world, you know, we could have contained that. Or we'd have had a hell of a lot better chance. Instead of how many people are dead in Italy now? I mean, there's almost more people dead in Italy now than theoretically have died in China.
No, they are saying now that the number in Italy has surpassed China.
Well, there you go.
I just saw it in the news before the show.
But
what is going on in Italy that it's so bad? Like, what the fuck are they doing in Italy?
Italy is basically the Florida of Europe. In that it's where it's warm, it's where old people go to die.
They also have a lot of Chinese people there because Italy let China invest heavily in Belt and Road projects in Italy. Yep. So there's a shitload of Chinese there.
There's a big Chinese presence, and they have an older population. I'm fairly certain Italy has the oldest population in all of Europe. So you've got kind of the double whammy. You've got a lot of Chinese interspersed, and you've got an older population, which is why, you know, more people are dying. It's unfortunate. It's terrible. And you know, also, let's not forget that Italy has had, 50 different governments since World War II? Yeah. I mean, it's not the best run of places.
The Chinese and I'm being charitable. The Chinese are also fond of prostitutes and whorehouses.
I mean, this is, you know, this is where the, you know, Roman shower originated. Enough said.
That's right.
So.
And the Roman orgy.
Yes. I mean, you know, and I am Italian, so I'm not saying this because I dislike the place. I like it immensely, but, you know, it's skewed. And I think one of the biggest peeves I have with this entire thing is people just spout numbers without any thought whatsoever. And you get things like people who are like, well, it kills, you know, it has a 3% mortality rate. And if everybody in the planet gets it, that's, you know, 200 million people dead. And it's
it doesn't work that way.
Exactly. And this is how we get things like the governor of Pennsylvania shutting down all businesses arbitrarily because they're panicking because people do not understand risk assessment.
We're shitty at that anyway.
Yeah, you know, and that it is dangerous to the elderly and the immunocompromised, no question. You should take precautions, no question. But we have gone way beyond that into the realm of pants-shitting hysteria. And, you know, just in my own feed on Facebook, I've seen people just regurgitate the dumbest fucking not rooted in reality shit. You know, I heard that a major metropolitan area was telling its police to get ready for martial law. I heard that they don't even have a test kit for coronavirus. I heard from a third-hand source that, you know, the entire U.S. military has been sequestered in their rooms. Like, where the fuck does this come from? What do you think you're doing by putting this bullshit out there? Sorry, I'm making Ty angry. Oh, it is so good to hear him.
It is.
Yeah.
I haven't heard him sing a song like that in a long, long time.
He's singing us the song of his people. That's right. And the song is, I'm hungry, damn it.
Yeah, he's actually eating double supper tonight because he just inhaled his first supper.
Nah, he's getting second breakfast. All
right. He's getting second suppers.
Nice. He's a hobbit cat.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, he does have furry toes.
That's true. That's true. But yeah.
You know, I'm interested. I have been kind of seeing online, and I think it's probably because I work in the library, but how people are continuing to, how do I put this? Like I know that libraries are doing things online to serve their patrons. Like they're doing streaming story times for kids that are stuck home from school. And I know that a lot of websites are doing extra things. Like Alan, you were saying you saw a thing, they're doing a concert.
Oh yeah. I've read several different notices from people. Like there's a big one, Willie Nelson, and a bunch of people are supposed to do like a live stream concert thing. I think tomorrow or sometime this weekend, somebody else was going to do one like tonight. I mean, so there's people that are doing these like ad hoc, you know,
I think it's great.
Streamed entertainment things. I've seen a lot of stuff from zoos.
Yeah, you know, zoos.
Where they'll drag out, you know, some animal and put it through its paces and they'll talk about it. And, you know, I've seen a couple of ones. I think the Houston Zoo did the cheetah one yesterday. I think they did a sloth Cincinnati did a sloth today. And they did something else yesterday. So, I mean, it's, you know, they're using the internet to, you know.
On St. Patrick's Day, the church where, like, it's kind of like our family hometown in Ireland, it's a pretty small, you know, Irish town. The church did a virtual mass.
Yeah, that's
on Facebook. And I thought, how lovely is that? I mean, the priest was there and he was doing mass and the church was empty, but he was doing it for everybody. And so that was cool. And I know that a lot of, we're posting things like celebrities are reading children's books for kids, like bedtime stories or like story hour for kids. I know a lot of museums are doing kind of walkthroughs of their museums, which is really cool. And there's different websites like Open Culture. I really suggest Open Culture to everybody listening because it's such a great website. They have like free online courses. They have full text books you can download. There's like archival films you can watch. There's art. There's everything on Open Culture. It's really a cool website. So if you're looking for something to do during your quarantine, and I know that I just learned tonight that one of our listeners, our longtime listener, Burr Mobley, is, I think, our first squirrel to be put into quarantine.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And so, number one, thanks for listening. And number two, thanks for always participating on the Squirrel Report page on Facebook. Officially, like, he has to go into quarantine. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's his story to tell. I'm not going to tell why or whatever, but we were just kind of chatting online during the show and I said to him, I said, you know, I'm basically kind of on lockdown mostly because I'm an introvert and I don't have to go to work. So I'm like happy to stay at home and do nothing. And he, you know, we both kind of agreed that we're kind of excited to get some projects done. But in the interim, like if you're looking for stuff to do, like there's audiobooks to download for free. There's free, you know, there's so much online and, yeah, so
you can also go outside and do stuff.
Yeah. Alan. Wasn't I suggesting that to you today?
Just stay 6 feet away from everyone else.
Yeah.
That's hard. I went to the grocery store today and that is a difficult thing to do in a grocery store. I kind of try to keep my cart in between me and everybody else. And I don't, Jay, I don't know about your parents, but I know that I'm having to, my mom is sequestered for the interim because she has some health issues and she's also like over 70. So it's not really, you know, advice for her to go out. So I'm in the grocery store and she texted me her grocery list. And I'm in the grocery store, like sending her pictures by text saying, is this the thing you want? Is this it? You know, like, is this the brand of cheese or whatever? Like, I'm standing in the deli case and I'm taking a picture of the deli ham. And she's like, well, what is that? She's like, is it thin cut? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, you know. And so I like turn the package. I'm taking a picture of like the cut of the ham. I hope it's sufficient, you know, like, but it's weird times. And I don't know. I think we're all going to be okay.
Yeah. My folks are actually in Florida right now.
Oh my gosh.
They go down every year and they went down long before this blew up. You know, it was like early February, but like right when we're starting to hear there's something going on in China, but you know, whatever. And they're planning on coming back mid-April, so hopefully it'll be mostly out of the way then.
Well,
we don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
You know, there's another thing. You know, because now we're hearing, oh, this may not be over until August. I'm like, every virus that we've encountered pretty much to date follows the same general pattern as influenza. Mm. Once it gets too warm, they really can't survive.
Right.
So why is this, you know, are you just making this shit up? You know, is that the...
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They don't know. I mean, it's not flu, and we don't know, you know, it started during flu season. You know, it started in China during flu season, so it's reasonable.
You know what I'm wondering?
Expect.
Like, we have a flu season. Is there going to be a coronavirus season? Like, is this going to be a yearly thing now?
Well, we already have that. Because the common cold is a coronavirus.
Yes. Don't be pedantic. I'm talking about this one.
I'm just saying. It'll probably...
I am just saying, too.
Well, it'll probably mutate like the flu does, like other viruses do. And so, yeah, this may be an ongoing every year thing from now on. Hopefully we get, you know, some sort of like, you know, vaccine or something that'll help control it. But, you know, right now cases in the U.S. are doubling every 2 days. And they warned that Dr. Birx, is that her name? The one that stands next to Trump. Anyway, she said that now that we're rolling out these massive testing programs, she said, you are going to see the confirmed case count skyrocket. But don't panic.
Don't panic.
These are not new cases. These are existing cases that we're just now finding out about because we're testing more people.
Mm-hmm.
She also says that the worst case that they've seen, it was out of Italy, was 7% positive.
Right.
So if you have symptoms, you know, you're sneezing, you've got a fever, blah, blah, blah. Only 7% of those people, worst case, actually had the coronavirus. Everybody else just had a cold or a flu or
something. Yeah, or allergies.
Yeah, they have a pretty good screening to eliminate allergies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, so, yes, once you get the screening. But the thing is, when we hear all this disinformation, you know, use 7%. Someone out there is going to glom onto that 7% and say, I heard that has a 7% mortality rate. And if everybody gets it, you know,
yeah.
Yes, I know, Alan. I know. But hear me out, because there's a current thing that's going around Facebook right now.
Yeah,
it's going around Facebook right now. That's like, it's not a case of if you'll get it, but when you get it, you will get it. So act like act so you avoid transmitting it. Now, that's a great sentiment. Don't get me wrong. Take precautions. You know, don't go out in public without a mask. Blah 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 blah. Okay. It's not a bad thing, except that people hear that, and then they hear 7%, and they put two and two together in their little brains and say, there's 8 billion people on the planet. If everyone gets it and 7% die, holy fuck balls, that's 560 billion people that are going to die. Because people are bad at math and they're bad at risk assessment. And then you end up with these fuckwits going on television saying, this has the potential to kill more people than World War II. No! No, it doesn't!
Yeah.
No! Don't say that! That's irresponsible bullshit! You go out there and you tell people it's going to kill 200 million people or 55 million people.
Yeah, the worst one in modern history was the Spanish flu. And
right.
It only infected 27% of the population worldwide.
Right. Right.
So,
and what was the death toll?
Oh, it was
27% of the world's population.
No,
was infected.
That's right. Who got it?
Infected, and I'm clicking the link.
Yeah. I'm doing the same thing.
Death toll estimated to have been anywhere from 17 million to 50 million and possibly as high as 100 million.
Right.
How did they not know the real number?
Well, because they don't know how many people had it.
Right.
1918, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they could test for it, really. I mean, they didn't know what DNA was back then or anything.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but something just popped up in my feed that I have to share with everyone.
Yes.
Corona isn't Trump's fault. Ebola wasn't Obama's, SARS wasn't Bush's, and only a handful of cases of herpes was Clinton's. Oh.
But I'm bummed. Oh, and adding to the list of things you can do, every single episode of The French Chef with Julia Child is now online. You can binge watch it.
Yay! Oh. Is it really?
Yes.
That's
where?
Actually kind of
where?
I'll send you the link.
There's a lot of things that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
FXX is running their Simpsons marathon again. Somewhere out there, someone's running all of Star Trek ever.
Oh, yeah. Some.
I'm sure.
I think is it Disney or somebody? Some streaming service is running all the.
Right. Which is kind of neat. Yeah, it's kind of neat that they're doing that to people. But again, there's
Macmillan Publishers is no longer embargoing ebooks
to
public libraries. There was this whole big thing, you know, prior to this, but I think the virus, this whole situation, they're letting people get their ebooks.
Universal Studios announced they're going to release movies like. In the theaters, they're going to release them to streaming at the same time. Of course, the theaters
that can be really bad for theaters.
Well, yeah, all the theaters are closed. I expect a lot of them won't reopen.
Yeah,
because you know, this is
who wants to go sit there anyway?
Well, I mean, there's some people that do, not me. I mean, the number of. I think I went to see the Wonder Woman movie with Alana in the theater. And that may be the last one I saw. Oh, I saw the Van Gogh movie in the art theater, but that doesn't really count. That's not a, you know, I bet those theaters will still be around because they're already losing money. Did I lose everyone?
No, I'm reading about the Julia Child videos, which are not free.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
Yeah. Wait, there's another way to enjoy Julia Child. Blah, blah, blah.
Amazon Prime. Oh.
Free Julia Child video collection. I don't know. PBS on Roku is a joke.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to put that out there. Joke.
You know what's funny we pay for PBS.
Yeah, I know.
And it's still not free.
How dare you charge me again?
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm going to watch my black and white Julia Child videos, damn it. Have you been... Has anyone been binge-watching anything during the quarantine?
Altered Carbon.
Ah. Do you like that? Do you think it's good?
I do.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It helps to have read the book, but if you there's it's the second season's out now. You really need to watch, you know, from the beginning. I won't even try to explain it.
Okay. Is it sci-fi? Is that it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's super duper sick at sci-fi. It's actually really good. But
well, I know that I'm going to have to start finding another thing to do on my hiatus from the library. The past couple of days I've been sitting on the sofa watching TV with a cat because he's been sick, but I need to like do something else because today I realized I'm like sitting on the couch with the cat on my lap and I'm like, I have no idea what day it is. And I'm watching a, what the fuck, what's her name? Julia Roberts movie, Eat, Pray, Love. I had to turn it off. It was so bad. And I'm just like, okay, I got to do something else. Like this is, and there is not enough true crime that I haven't seen. So, and documentaries. And then I tried watching like a really bad miniseries of Cleopatra with Timothy Dalton. That was awful. So
Timothy Dalton, James.
Yeah. He was playing Caesar, but it was awful.
I was just about to say he'd make an awful Cleopatra. But
yeah, he played Caesar. And I didn't know who Cleopatra was, but it was just horrific. I don't know. I only got through the carpet scene. Like where they rolled her out of the carpet and I was like, oh, this is bad. I got to turn it off.
Kinky.
Yeah. Well, you know the story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's
I hope
one
everybody
I just,
listening knows that story. Otherwise, look it up.
Meanwhile, the State Department has issued a global level 4 health advisory and advised all Americans to come home and not travel outside the U.S. borders, which has never happened ever.
Wow.
So lots of stuff that's never happened before is happening. They did that. Yeah.
And I think had people known during the Spanish flu to do these things, they would have done it. But they didn't know at that time that, you know,
they didn't have a clue.
And I think it's good. I think it's good now that we are doing it. We're able to do it. You know,
they're getting rid of a lot of red tape that was holding up.
You
know, like one of the stories that came out was the only reason we knew about the hotspot in Washington is because a lab violated the FDA rules and started running their own tests.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of the response has been, we're just going to get the government the fuck out of the way.
Right, and that's what they've been doing. They've been slashing through red tape. They've been eliminating rules and regulations that prevent people from doing things. They passed, I don't know if it was an executive order or what, but Trump did something that will allow doctors to practice in other states besides the one they're licensed in, which is huge because prior to this, you had to go, you know, if you're a doctor in Texas, you couldn't go be a doctor in Oklahoma, for instance, unless you passed that state's medical board. So, and they've done that. There's a couple of drugs that they did that, what they call it, the compassion ruling or something. It's like if somebody's about to die, previously there were a lot of drugs that a doctor could have given them, you know, like a Hail Mary. You know,
right.
We don't know if this is going to work or not. But you know what, you've got nothing to lose. So let's try it. And now they can do that. So that's huge.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, there's been this rule where, you know, a drug can't be sold in the U.S. unless the FDA approves it. Now they're talking about accepting other countries' approvals.
Mm.
So like if the EU approves a drug, then it would theoretically be okay to use in the U.S. as well. They'd have some sort of reciprocity, which I'm sure the FDA is kind of like, no, no, we don't want to do that because, you know, the FDA. But Trump's like Buford Pusser. He's got that 2x4 and he's laying, you know, he's knocking shit around. He's, you know, he's upsetting a lot of people for good, I think.
Yeah.
Let me just put this out there.
Okay.
Imagine Hillary dealing with this. The thing I like about the whole Trump, the way he's dealing with this is he's dealing with it like he's running a business, which is how it should be. Like he's got getting all the ducks in the row and he's got this guy working on that. He's delegating this. And like, it's like a business. Like he's okay. You know, he's like, we have shit to do and this is how we're going to do it. And I think, you know, and on top of it, he's really staying, communicating with the American public, which I think is really important right now, because I think people are kind of like freaking out and don't know where to look for guidance or information, or, you know, they just need to be reassured on a certain level, you know, that somebody is doing something.
Yep. I'll tell you another thing. Prior to this, I thought Pence was just like an empty suit.
Oh,
you know, since, you know, Trump put him in charge of this and I've been watching the press conferences every day, you know, he seems pretty fucking competent right now.
I mean, he's no Joe Biden, but.
Yeah, I keep thinking, like, they're really still running Joe Biden.
Oh, my God.
They're really going to do it.
Well, like, okay. Like the debate where neither Biden nor Sanders got the name of the disease right. It has only been in the news every fucking second for the past month. And it's not like you would go wrong calling it coronavirus or COVID-19. Like, I understand if you call it Wuhan, oh, you're racist, blah, blah, blah. But coronavirus or COVID-19, you're never going to go wrong with that. And they still couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie called it SARS.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden called it Ebola.
Oh, no. Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, really?
I wonder if this isn't just some sort of rope-a-dope on the part of the Democrats. Or do you think they're smart enough to pull that?
No. You know, I hope so. Because if Joe Biden, the one thing that really worries me is that if they continue with this farce and they run Biden and Trump wins again, the lesson they're going to learn is not we shouldn't run horrible candidates. We should run someone that appeals to everyone, not just the far left. No. The lesson they're going to learn is we need to go even further left. Bernie was popular. Let's promise everybody full-blown communism. And that's what they're going to run.
Well, good luck to them.
And you know, just the way things are going, not seeing a lot of people who are like, what do you mean the government is telling me my business can't be open? Fuck you. I'm an American. We're like, nope, okay. And that's sad.
Well, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that are doing the whole fuck you can't tell me what to do thing. The problem is that while the federal government can't do these things, it's currently not the federal government that's doing it. It's state and local governments. And state and local governments absolutely can shut down businesses, especially during, you know, an emergency and things like that. That falls under the police powers that almost every state gives themselves in their individual constitutions. So they absolutely can shut down any business. You know, if there's a declared emergency, they get to do pretty much whatever they want. And it's not Trump doing it. It's not the federal government doing it. It's your it's your mayors and your county judges and your state governors and people like that. So, you know, it's on the one hand, you can make an argument that it's an overreaction. At the same time, and I'm very sympathetic to that point of view. At the same time, it's kind of one of those cases where it's literally a case that the left likes to argue that global warming is. Only in this case, it's more immediate. So the left, you know, the left argument about global warming is, well, you know, it's a crisis. You know, it's going to end life on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we have to do something now, and we can't mess around. And you know, in this case, you know, people are getting sick, people are dying. It could, you know, is it going to spread and kill millions of people? We don't know. If we don't do something, is it going to be worse? Yeah, but do we know how much? Don't know. Let's err on the side of caution, maybe. I like the idea of not getting together in groups. You know, so far it's a recommendation. In some states, like in Washington and in New York, it's mandatory now. They've edicted, because those are the worst hit states. But, you know. Well, you know, it's kind of like, do you really want to test the null hypothesis on that? Do you really want to see how many people would have died if we didn't do all this?
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out, like, why people are having such a hard time staying home.
Because they're extroverts. They got to get out.
Well, I don't get it. Like,
they
just
gotta party. God, they got to do their thing. It's easy. You know, it's like, you know, for once in my life, the social structure is in my favor.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I don't have any problem staying home. The problem I have is that I go into the store and the shelves are empty, and that scares the living shit out of me.
Oh, that's not, it's not really, okay, so that's just people buying too much shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not a supply problem.
I think that'll settle down, I think.
It is. My daughter works at a grocery store, and she says that the problem is that people are buying the shit faster than the trucks can deliver it.
Yeah.
If they would just calm down and buy the stuff they normally do, we wouldn't be having a problem, because there's not a supply shortage. The amount of supply is the same that's ever been, which has always been enough. It's just that people are freaking out and buying more than they need right now. And, you know, and they're scared, like, oh, you know, am I going to have to stay in my house for 6 months or something like that? Which, yeah. A, isn't going to happen. And B, even where they've done the whole, you know, shelter in place thing, they still let people go to the store. You know, only in China were they welding people's doors shut,
yeah,
and not letting them out of their houses. They're not doing that anywhere else in the world. You know, even where there's a, you know, no travel, you know, shelter in place curfew thing in countries like Italy and Spain, they still get to go to the fucking grocery store. So calm down, people.
Yep.
Calm down. It's going to be okay. Read a book.
Yeah, read a book. Watch a TV show. Pet your cat. Go for a walk.
That's right. Feed your cat before he starves to death, damn it.
Yeah. How much did he wind up eating?
I can only imagine. He's been quiet. He's actually starved to death.
He ate almost two-thirds of the can. And now is passed out asleep. So all is well.
His own little private Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I think people need to reevaluate. I read an interesting article, and I think it was by Matt Walsh. I don't usually read Matt Walsh because he's kind of on the far end for me. Is that who I'm talking about? Matt Walsh? Is that who I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Walsh. Maybe. I don't know. He's like a super conservative Matt Walsh, Christian Speaker. Yeah, that's him. Okay. He wrote an article about, let me see if I can find it. I thought it was really, really good. Like maybe we should stay quarantined in a certain way because people like slow down and take their time and spend time together. And, you know, I think people, I know most people, especially people listening to this show, like realize the value of slowing down and doing things that, you know, are enriching kind of your soul, that sort of thing. Like, and I think this sort of time where you're forced to, you know, have some quiet time by yourself, you know, it's kind of a gift, really. Like, we're always so tired and so busy.
Everybody's going to be so happy to go back to work.
Well, for those that have work to go back to.
Yeah. Power.
And that's what scares
Hello?
Me.
Hello?
Hello?
You're still here.
Crap.
What?
We lost power.
Oh, no.
I can still hear you.
Did you hear me, like, for the past 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Yes.
We lost power. Wow.
Huh. Coronavirus. Because
I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear you. Oh, my God. Now it's really the zombie apocalypse.
That's it.
I haven't prepped enough. Oh, God.
That's what I said in the score report. This is the worst parts of the zombie apocalypse without being able to shoot zombies in the head. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I know.
It's just so goddamn frustrating.
Yeah. But, you know, try to enjoy your time. Like, if you have to be in your house, try to enjoy it. Do cool stuff. Project. Yeah, do cool stuff.
Clean your floors.
We're going to do yard work.
clean your kitchen.
Clean your floors. Yeah.
Alan really knows how to party, folks.
Yeah, I know. He's a wild man. Clean your floors.
Get that mop out. Get busy. You know?
Get busy with
your
mop.
I was thinking more like learn how to embroider or, you know, do some gardening or,
The guy I'm taking guitar lessons from is working on teaching people over Skype and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's my daughter's guitar lessons the same way.
So the problem is I need to figure out how to connect my camera to my computer. So.
Alan's trying to plug into Vivitar 110. It doesn't work.
I don't, as a rule, don't do video, so I'm not really set up. I mean, I don't do video of myself, so I'm not set up for that, you know? It's not...
Alan doesn't roll that way, people. Stop asking him.
Yeah, it's not something I do. Except for that one guy that keeps sending me emails that he's got video of me watching porn and stuff. And, you know, he claims to have video of me. And, you know, every time I send it to me. And I never get a reply. So, I don't know.
Oh, I found the article, by the way, that I was talking about, the Matt Walsh article.
Ah.
It was, let's stay self-quarantined forever. You know, I'm suspecting he's an introvert. But, he's talking about, you know, spending time with your family and cooking meals in your kitchen and, you know, cleaning your floors. It's not a bad thing to slow down sometimes.
There's that cleaning the floors again.
Well, you know, our Jewish friends practice that.
On the Sabbath.
One day a week on their Sabbath day, they shut off
everything.
Everything. And they spend time with their families or, you know, alone or whatever.
Yeah.
And they, you know. They don't do anything. I think they don't do anything that has electricity in it. It's like they're like,
they can't do anything that is considered work.
Right.
And I mean, and that is a very broad category. Like they can't turn on a light switch.
Right.
They can't carry anything, like not even a book, not even nothing. They can't carry anything. This is like very Orthodox Jewish, but, you know, like they're pretty serious about like having a day off during the week where they do nothing except sit and read and relax and talk to their family and eat good food. And they love it. I've talked to some of our Jewish patrons, and they love it. They look forward to that day during the week so much.
I'd like that day. I'd like to do that, but I want to do it like Wednesday.
In the middle of the week.
Yeah, because I still want my weekend for other stuff, but I want my day.
Oh, you want an extra.
I want my unplugged day to be like in the middle of the week. I think that'd be nice. Work Monday, Tuesday, have your unplugged day, and then work Thursday, Friday, and then have a weekend. See, that'd be great.
So, Alan, you're saying you'd like to skip hump day?
Yes. I would like to skip that. That would work for me.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Oh, look at the time.
We've gone over. It's a coronavirus bonus.
This is the bonus quarantine score report. It's the squirrel team.
Is it because we're all so lonely being quarantined?
That's it.
Isolated.
No.
I keep seeing articles over and over about how to not get lonely during your quarantine. I was like,
here's the
but
thing.
After like 3 or 4 years, maybe I might think about it.
I normally work from home anyway, but I spend like easily 6 hours a day on the phone in meetings and stuff like that. So, you know,
that sounds like my very own version of hell.
It is. It's pretty awful. Now, the only plus about it is I don't have to actually sit in a room with other people for those
hours. Right. Yes. Like at a library. Yeah.
Which is like, you know, awesome. Yay telecommuting. But still, I am in no danger whatsoever of being lonely. In fact, I could use a little more, you know, no people time. Especially during the week. Good Lord.
Well, I have to say that I do not miss the patrons at work.
Oh, I'm sure.
I do not. Yeah.
And as you said before, they're getting along just fine without the library.
Are they? Are they, though?
Oh, you know they are.
I imagine in my head that they're all, like, lined up outside, like, scratching at the windows like zombies.
The hobos have nowhere to masturbate.
I wonder if those people that show up like every day, I wonder how many of them have been like showing up in the morning on the off chance.
Well, I know. And we do have regulars that show up every single day, like at the same time of the day. I'm like wondering, like, what are they doing with themselves? Like, are they jonesing for the library? Are they, you know, kind of wandering around aimlessly, like whining? And
well, if you're lucky, they'll discover they don't actually need the library, and they'll never come back.
That'd be nice.
It's not like they're checking out books. They're just taking up space.
No, they're leaving DNA in the restroom.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, and on that note. We'll...
All right, folks. Assuming that coronavirus, that the Kung flu doesn't kill us all.
The Kung flu. The Wu-Tang flu.
Wu-Tang flu. The Wu-Tang virus. Assuming we do not all succumb to it by next week, we'll have another, there'll be another squirrel team.
I think so.
I should put like the biohazard symbol on the squirrel accord.
Or a squirrel hazard.
Yeah. All right, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. We'll be back. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Wash your hands.